John chapter 8, and we'll start reading in verse number 21. John chapter 8, beginning in verse number 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If you are Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus saith unto them, If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Now, this is a continuation of the discourse which started on the conclusion of the feast day, as Jesus now goes into the temple and begins to teach. And so we have a collection of Jews from all over the world, and also those that live in Jerusalem. And we find in this discourse that this woman is brought forth that was taken in the act of adultery. Jesus deals with that situation, as we've already covered. And then he presses on to a spiritual dimension here. And the people that he's speaking to cannot understand the spiritual dimension of what he speaks, because they look only at the flesh. They look only at the outer things. And so we're going to start this morning then in verse number 37 and take a look at what Jesus has to say and what it is that they're missing. Now in verse number 37, Jesus, first of all, says, I know that you're Abraham's seed. Jesus is recognizing that they are Abraham's seed. They are the legitimate offspring by blood of Abraham. So he's admitting that. And maybe admit isn't the wrong word. Maybe I should say that he's stressing that, because the point that he's stressing is that spiritual life is not transmitted by familial descent. You are Abraham's children according to the flesh, but you are not Abraham's children according to the Spirit. So, let's take a closer look at what he's saying here, because this is an important thing. Here is a great spiritual principle that churchianity would be very, very wise to observe. Just because you are the son of a Christian doesn't make you a Christian. Christianity, the new birth, is not conferred by spiritual descent. I'm sorry, by natural descent, but by spiritual. So, let's take a closer look, shall we? Jesus, first of all, says in verse number 37, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. Well, right away, there's a dichotomy here. Obviously, Abraham would not have sought to murder Christ, but these people who are his seed by natural generation are plotting to murder him. So, what can we make of this point? Well, first of all, let's turn to Luke chapter 3 and verse number 38 and see what can be made of this point. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, and we're going to read verse number 38. But what we have here is the line of descent of the Lord Jesus taken all the way back to Adam. What's the difference between the genealogy that's given in Luke and the genealogy that's given in Matthew? Verse number 38 is your clue.
One is from Abraham, the other is from Adam.
Yes, that's exactly right. Luke is showing that the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord of the entire human race. And so his descent is traced all the way back to Adam. And when we look in verse number 38, we read, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. And you'll notice that the son is italicized here, but it conveys the information that we need to know, that Adam was of God. Well, what's gone wrong? Those Jews, then, that are discoursing with Jesus are also descended from Adam. And if Adam is the son of God, something has apparently gone wrong. Yes, Adam fell. Adam disobeyed God, and after the fall, he was no longer as God constituted him when he was created. Let's go to Romans 5:12. Can somebody just quote it before we even get there? Well, yes, you were close. Yes. So let's just go ahead and read it then. This is one of those passages of Scripture that show us why things are the way that they are. Romans chapter 5, then, and verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, the first, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Is all pretty inclusive? Do you think that all men means all men? Now, sometimes the scripture will use the word all as meaning all of a certain subset of something. But here, we don't have a subset of men. We have all men. And to underscore that, and verse number 12 says, death passed upon all men. Well, there's the evidence that all have sinned. There's the evidence that by one man sin entered into the world. Because in Adam, all die. Adam the first. So what Jesus is saying here is, yes, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but was Abraham around at the time that Jesus said those words? No, he was not. Where was Abraham? He was in Abraham's bosom, waiting for Christ to do what the Father sent him to do, and he was waiting with joyous expectation. But his body was no longer on the earth, and so that underscores what's being said here. Death passed upon all men. Now, Abraham was not only dead physically, but Abraham, before he believed God, was also dead spiritually. Yes, but the scripture tells us that Abraham believed God, which is the only thing God's ever asked of any part of the human race, and God counted it to him for righteousness. Look at verse number 13. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Well, Jesus is talking to a collection of Jews here in the temple, and he tells them, you're from beneath, I am from above. Except you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins, and whither I go, you cannot come. Well, we're Abraham's children. Yes, you are Abraham's seed. However, you're still sinners. Now, that was something that they did not want to hear. They were making the boast. We're Abraham's children. We were never in bondage to any man. Well, yes, you're in bondage to sin. As a matter of fact, you're in bondage to Adam, if you want to look at it that way. Because Adam sinned, death passed upon all men, because you're part of the human race. And so, as the Gentiles are sinners, so are you. This is what produced the great outrage. That was the last thing that the Jews wanted to hear, because they thought, well, because we're descended by natural generation from Abraham, we are the cream of the crop when it comes to humanity. But Romans 5:12 tells us, wait a minute, not so quick with that. In verse number 13, Romans chapter 5 again, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Oh, it almost looks like the Gentiles are off the hook here. Jesus has just told the Jews, you're sinners. Oh no, we're Abraham's seed. We're special. Well, yes, you are special, but not in the way that you think. In verse number 13, the scripture says, "The law is for until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law." Listen up, Gentiles. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. After the similitude of Adam's transgression, we've been over this many, many times. Those that want to be under the law are inviting unto themselves a double curse. Yes, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Once again, what does that mean, after the similitude of Adam's transgression? Adam received his warning directly, first person, from God. How does that comport itself with the nation of Israel? They received the law, as the book of Hebrews says, by the disposition of angels, and had not kept it. They sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. They clearly met with God, and they clearly understood what God had said in the tables of stone, and yet they disobeyed his direct commandment to them. Jesus is speaking again here to the nation of Israel. It isn't that the Gentiles don't need to be saved, because death still reigned from Adam to Moses. But those that had received the law and transgressed the law were not just sinners, but also transgressors. So what do we see? Well, first of all, that Adam was the son of God, or the offspring of God. Adam fell. And then we find out in Romans 5:12 that natural descent has produced something, but not what the Jews were making out that it produced. We found that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, Jew and Gentile. Made no difference. And the Jews should have understood that by the fact that they were dying too. Apparently natural descent was no protection against death. Now in Galatians chapter 4, let's go there again. In Galatians chapter 4, Paul, once again, I know we've been here, but let's go back. Jesus is alluding to something here. Ishmael, those that desired to be under the law. Now, was Ishmael descended by natural generation from Abraham? Of course he was. Not according to promise, but according to natural descent, he's just as much a child of Abraham as Isaac was. Well, that presents some interesting things, doesn't it? Galatians chapter 4, then, in beginning in verse number 21. Paul now speaking to the churches of Galatia. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. Paul is reminding the churches of Galatia of the same thing that Jesus is alluding to in this discourse in the temple. And we got to that several lessons ago. Verse 23. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. Here's the natural descent. part of this. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. God made his covenant with Isaac, not with Ishmael. Now, what was the covenant with Isaac based on? No. What was it based on? Natural descent or something else? Because Abraham had two sons.
Faith.
It was based on faith. Yes, that's true.
Spiritual
descent. Isaac is the spiritual descendant of Abraham, but Ishmael is a descendant of Abraham after the flesh. Now, that's an important distinction, and isn't it interesting that Paul is telling this to a church? Jesus is discoursing with Jews, but now Paul is warning a church. You want to be under the law? Maybe you should understand a few things about the law. Maybe you should hear what the law has to say before you go rushing off in that direction. What's the problem with denominations? And by the way, as soon as you say anything plus or minus about a spiritual thing or most anything else, you've denominated yourself.
The only problem with denominations is holding the authority of those in that denomination above what the Bible has to say.
Yeah, that's a good point. The traditions of the elders, could we say it that way? Pardon?
That's more eloquent.
Well, perhaps it's more to the point because the tradition of the elders are not always squared away with the scriptures, are they? Well, yes. Apparently, the churches at Galatia paid little heed, right along with all the rest of churchianity that was to come after, to what Paul is warning about right here. Is it not true that those that are born and raised in some denomination, and it doesn't matter if it's Catholic or Baptist, really, might hear a little bit more of the truth if they were Baptist? But that's beside the point I'm attempting to make. Wouldn't it be natural for a Catholic to think, well, I was baptized a Catholic, and so therefore I'm good to go with God? Wouldn't a Baptist be want to say, well, you know, we can trace our baptism all the way back to John the Baptist, and so therefore, we got our baptism right, and so therefore, I'm probably okay with God. They do say that, you know. Some do. Not all. But some, and they make quite a point of it. And then they laugh at the Catholics for the idea of apostolic succession. Isn't their belief functionally equivalent? Sure is. Verse number 24. Which things are an allegory? Once again, what's an allegory? It's a story that tells a story, yes. Which things are for an allegory? For these are the two covenants. Two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Okay, Hagar is the mother of Ishmael. And we already found out that Ishmael was born after the flesh. Isaac was born after the spirit because Isaac was a believer. So Abraham had two sons. One was an unbeliever. The other was a believer. And God's covenant, of course, is with the believer, as it always is. And we find out that this one that's born after the flesh is really a picture of Jerusalem, in verse number 25, and is in bondage with her children. Well, the Jews have said, we're Abraham's children. We're never in bondage to any man. Well, Jesus is saying, I'm not talking about the bondage of the Romans. I'm talking about the bondage of sin. Whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. And the servant's not going to abide in the house forever, but the son abides forever. This is what infuriates the Jews in John chapter 8. Jesus has just told them that to be descended from Abraham by natural descent has no value concerning their soul. They're just as lost as the Samaritans and the Gentiles. And we'll see that they make an oblique reference to that when they accuse Jesus of being born of fornication and then say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil. You don't even belong with us. And what they really did is ratify what Jesus had said earlier. I'm from above, you're from beneath. Wow. Verse 26. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Now, we spoke of mothers just a moment ago in verse 24. What mother is spoken of there? Hagar, who gave birth to Ishmael. Flesh is flesh. The man of the flesh. Ishmael. But Jerusalem, which is from above, is free. Where did Jesus say he was from? In John chapter 8, I am from above. You're from beneath. The servant won't abide in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. Yes, if you want to make the allegory work on all fours or walk on all fours, sure. Verse 27, for it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. This is to a church. Can you see how this squares with what Jesus is saying in John chapter 8? Sometimes we would read John chapter 8 and say, well, Jesus is just talking about the Jews. No, he's talking about something that's a far greater scope than just the nation of the Jews. Now the church has been brought into this as well. And in verse number 28, he reminds the churches of Galatia and churchianity everywhere, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. What does that have to do with the fact that your daddy was a Baptist? Not a whole lot. Actually, what would it have to do with the fact that your daddy was a Christian? Yes. Was Abraham saved? But he had two sons. So if you got salvation by natural generation, do you see a problem? That's the point that's being made here. Then in verse number 29... But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. He that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. That's why Ishmael and Isaac got along so famously. It's true, they did get along famously.
Well,
famous for not getting along.
Today, our current president kind of dropped peace contracts into.
Yes. Do you think that's ever going to work? A peace contract between Ishmael and Isaac. No, there can be no peace. There could never be any peace. And we're not talking about the Muslims versus churchianity, because one could be about as bad as the other. They're all going to hell, except they believe. Verse 29, but as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. What's Paul saying? Galatians, watch out for something. There's a whole bunch of Ishmaels that are planted among you, tares that are dwelling in the pews, feasting themselves without fear. Beware, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. They're here to persecute you. And what's the greatest form of persecution? Somebody would say, well, as long as they're not causing a problem, just let them coexist. Because, you know, one of the Kingdom of Heaven parables suggests, you know, let the wheat and the tares grow up together and God will sort them out. That's true. But what's the ultimate form of persecution? Let's go back to where we were, shall we? John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 44. Here's where Jesus blows the lid off this thing. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. We don't have to read very far in the Gospels to find that that's true. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh it of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. What's the greatest form of persecution? Murder! But is Jesus talking about physical murder here? He's talking about spiritual murder. You know, sometimes people think that the devil is behind every sort of warped activity that human beings engage in, and I'm speaking of sins of the flesh. Do you think that the devil cares very much about the sins of the flesh? We ought to. No, he's interested in spiritually murdering people. Because if he kills the body, has he done all that he can do? Yeah, he has.
By killing just the
body, what about the spirit? That's it. If he can kill the spirit, kill the soul, now he's gone a huge step further. Now, in the book of Galatians, we find out he that was born after the flesh persecuted he that was born after the spirit. Do you think that that sometimes works out where those that are born of the flesh actually physically murder concerning the body, those that are born after the Spirit?
Yeah.
Iraq and...
Sure. Fox's Book of Martyrs and Human History has plenty of cases that could be made. But the fact that their bodies were put to death means nothing, really. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So they persecute as far as they're able to persecute, but the devil is interested in persecuting to a far greater degree, to the destruction of both body and soul in hell. That's his ultimate goal. Now, he can use sins of the flesh as tools and enticements, but he is really interested in a spiritual attack, not a physical attack. Does that make sense? Good. Good. Okay, let's go back and take a look at something else. So we find out that natural descent doesn't do it. So let's turn to Romans, excuse me, Romans chapter 9. Again, Paul alludes to this very thing. Romans chapter 9. We'll start reading in verse number 3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. According to the flesh. Get that part down. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. Whose are the fathers, and of whom concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect. For they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. What is being said here? What's Paul trying to say? Let's parse this out a little bit. Because this is taking us right back to John chapter 8, isn't it? Paul is saying, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. In other words, I'd give myself up. I'd surrender my salvation if it meant the salvation of those who are my kinsmen according to the flesh. Well, in John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus is going to give up his life for those who are his kinsmen according to the flesh, but they would have none of it. Verse number 4, who are Israelites? Well, what's being said here? Isn't Paul saying they genuinely are Israelites because they're descended from Israel? Well, who was Israel descended from? Isaac, Jacob. Isaac, Jacob. Abraham. Paul is saying we're descended from Abraham. Well, because we're Israelites, the sons of Israel, and the covenant was through Isaac to Jacob, who becomes Israel, certain things pertain to us. The adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, the promises. Whose are the fathers of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Now, verse number 5 seems to be stand in contradiction, doesn't it? Because we're talking about the flesh profits nothing, and yet the scripture says Christ came in the flesh. Well, why did Christ come in the flesh? And is it the flesh as we're speaking of those Jews in John chapter 8? No. Why did Christ come in the flesh? So he could become our kinsman redeemer. Verse number 7. I'm sorry, verse number 6. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. What does that mean? They are not all Israel, which are of Israel. What does that mean? They are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Are the Jews to whom Jesus is speaking in John chapter 8 of Israel? In what sense? According to the flesh, according to natural descent from Israel. Abraham, Isaac, Israel, the Jews, in John chapter 8. Now, when you think of that, then what does this mean? Because it almost sounds like a conundrum, doesn't it? They are not all Israel, which are of Israel. What does Israel mean? Maybe we ought to search that up. But that aside for a moment, they are not all Israel, which are of Israel.
Well, they're all fleshly, but they're not all spiritual.
That's exactly what it means. Just because they're descended by natural generation from Israel, and of course by extension from Abraham, as we have in John chapter 8, that doesn't mean that they're all his spiritual descendants. A prince of God, yes. They're not all princes of God, are they? Verse number 7 clinches it. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now we get back to what we studied in Galatians just a moment ago. I'm going to run over just a moment because I want to have this thought secured before we press on. This is a critical juncture in John chapter 8, isn't it? Verse number 7. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Well, who were the two children we looked at, the allegory, back in the book of Galatians? Ishmael and Isaac. And what was the difference? Ishmael was born according to the flesh, but Isaac according to the Spirit. Pause to let this sink in. And Isaac shall thy seed be called. Verse number 8. That is, by way of explanation, they which are the children of the flesh are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. This clinches it. What's being said in verse number 8? Was Ishmael a legitimate son of Abraham? Sure was. Sure. Of the flesh. But in Isaac, the seed are counted. Well, what made Isaac different than Ishmael?
Because he was
he was a spiritual descendant. Do you suppose Isaac believed God and God also counted it to him for righteousness? Do you suppose Jacob believed God and God counted it to him for righteousness? Certainly. So an important point then has been made here. Just because Grandpa was a Baptist doesn't mean you're going to heaven. It's still the same thing. Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. What did he believe God about? That's an interesting question. He believed God. Well, in what sense did he believe God? Pardon? Yes, he believed that he is God. Do you suppose he believed what God told Adam, that he was going to send a deliverer? Mm-hmm. Let's pray.